So again, my name is Nikki Sims, and thanks so much for having us. We're only half a contingent today, and I'll explain a bit later. So I'm the part-time manager for our care centre, and we have 8 on our team, including me, and I'll introduce them as we go along. But I just want to acknowledge, first of all, where's Quante? Oh, Quante. Quante, Lee and Nikki Thompson and Pete O'Keefe, hello. They are our trustees, and they underpin and oversee the work of the trust. And what I love about these trustees is the vision that they carry and the health of the care centre as it is at the moment, and that's down to having a really good foundation to base our work on. So if you have any questions that arise out of today, if it's counselling, talk to these guys. If it's about the work of the trust, talk to Quante or Nikki or Pete. Could you put the team photo up? It's up. Look at that. That photo is all Jem's fault, because I texted him to say, could you come and take a formal photo of the team downstairs, because there's no one else to take it, and he wasn't here. And then he got the message too late. And when he said, I'm on my way, I went, too late. And that's us there. So you will see that there's Robin and Laura and Carl and myself there. There are four other faces. Two you'll see on video shortly. And two are really sick and can't be here today. So we've just got to trust God is speaking through all of this and what the messages and the sharing that we bring today. So I'll get you guys up. You've met Robin. But I think what we'll do, I'm going to pray. Lord God, I just want to pray a blessing on my team who step outside their comfort zone to come and share the passion of their work with a congregation of cousins in Christ who they don't always know. And Lord, I just pray your peace on them as they share their stories, that they share their passion of their work. And I pray that every one of us listening will capture a bit of the vision of what, of the passion that they have of being the hands and feet of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. So can we have Francis' video up, please?
Kia ora, North Porua whānau. I'm Francis Lapsley, the social worker for the care centre. Many of you will have seen me about the building over the years. My apologies for not being with you this morning. The question I'm most often asked is what social workers do. The International Federation of Social Workers says social work is a practice-based profession and an academic discipline that promotes social change and development, social cohesion, and the empowerment and liberation of people. Principles of social justice, human rights, collective responsibility, and respect for diversities are central to social work. Did you memorise all of that? Key words: empowerment, liberation, social justice. I have a little history lesson for you this morning. Social work has been strongly influenced by religious traditions. From the Jewish traditions outlined in Deuteronomy 10 and elsewhere in the Old Testament, referring to God giving justice to the fatherless and widows, and also caring and providing for the strangers or foreigners, through to the early church, as described in Acts, extending care to the poor and appointing someone to minister to their needs. These beliefs about caring for the poor rapidly extended throughout the whole Roman Empire. As the centuries went on, churches no longer had the money to care for the poor, and this responsibility was handed over to the civic authorities. Churches often, however, continued to administer much of the community assistance. By the 19th century, in Western countries, care of the poor had virtually ceased, and private charities began to take over. The women who did this work were mainly volunteers, and many of them were Christian, and it was from this movement that the profession of social work began. Today in New Zealand, you will find us in statutory agencies iwi social services and throughout the community, including in church settings. Sometimes we are seen as agents of social control, but many of us have the privilege to journey alongside people during difficult times, helping them to find hope, restoration, and purpose. Nikki asked us to share a scripture. Here is one that God brought to me early on in my work here. It describes, I think, what we would all want for Porua, and certainly what I want for the people that I work with. Isaiah 32, verses 16 to 18. Justice will dwell in the desert, and righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. I'd just like to finish with a thought from St. Augustine. Apologies for the paraphrase. A Christian social worker is a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which Christ loves, a voice through which Christ speaks, and a hand through which Christ helps. Amen.
So many of you will have seen Frances in the building. If you've been here on a Tuesday to a Thursday, she works in between the two pastor offices at the end of the hallway there. One thing that you may be picking up, and which some of you may not know, is that we are a team of all committed Christians who dearly walk closely with Jesus, and we bring the hope of Jesus into the work that we do, particularly in the counselling rooms and in the social work that Frances does. Our frontline, as I call them, my frontline team, are the people who bring hope to not only the lost, if we want to call them that, because they may not feel lost, although most people in the counselling room are probably lost. Even as Christians, they're lost, but they bring the hope to Christians, and they bring the hope to non-Christians who are in the space. And they do that by loving and being the hands and feet of Jesus. So I'm going to hand it over to Carl now to share. And Carl's been with us for maybe 4 years. Yeah.
Thanks, Nick. Hello, church. As Nicky said, it's a bit out of our comfort zone. I'm used to being downstairs. Well, we've all got to get used to this microphone. So, yeah, I've been working here for the last few years. I work here on... just realised I can't see through these glasses. I work here on Monday, Thursdays and Saturdays. I work with mainly men. I do some work with couples. And working with couples, I hopefully help them to be kind and appreciate each other again. I've been asked to share a scripture. I went over many scriptures that to find in line with the work that I do. And the scripture that I came across was John 8:32. The truth will set you free. Firstly, I like to work with the Holy Spirit. Tuning into the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit is key to my mahi. And working here takes it to another level of people experiencing God. I'm going to talk about one aspect of my work which focuses on identity. People often come with blended views, conflicting views of who they are, causing a lot of frustration and despair. Influenced by many things. For example, this generation is under constant attack on their identity, bombarded by social media, devices, comparing themselves to others, experiencing a lot of pressure, which leads them to have negative thoughts about themselves, about others, and about life. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free is to dismantle what has become muddled together and entangled with the truth. Drawing forth the truth within them to see themselves and others in a healthier way and to see life in a healthier way. The truth will set you free. A lot have discovered and rediscovered their identity in Christ. With around 20 or so people asking God into their lives and becoming new Christians. And many more reconnecting with God. And I know God is works in a unique way with everyone who comes here. And working in this church is a real blessing. Thank you. Thank you for the sacred place you have provided for us to work here. Thank you for your prayers and contributions that blesses our work and blesses the people that come here. Just yesterday, I had someone connect with God after many years and many tears. After I took her through the salvation prayer, not only did she light up, the whole room lit up. Another soul was saved.
Thanks, Carl. That's what I love about the testimony of them sharing their hearts and the work that they do. It's not just we turn up and do our modalities of counselling. They love the people who are sitting in their room with them and are showing the love of Jesus for them. Can we play Chris's video, please? So Chris isn't able to be with us today, so he had a pre-recording, and that's up now.
Kia ora, church. Thanks for this opportunity to introduce myself today. My name's Chris, and I'm one of the NPCC team that work mostly downstairs in the church here. I work here on Thursday afternoon, and in the other days of the week I am a counsellor at Victoria University. I'm pretty local to this area. I grew up in Tauwa and in Ranui, and now I live with my young family over in Te Tahi Bay, and have lived there for the last half dozen years or so. I've been asked to share a verse with you, a couple of verses with you, and link them to the work that I do as a counsellor. And there's one that pops into my head straight away as a really influential verse in my life. And the verse is Psalm 27, verse 13, which says, "I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And this was a really meaningful verse for me at a rough point of my life. When I was feeling that faith was a bit pointless if it was all about getting to heaven and the afterlife and just kind of sucking things up now. And this verse had a lot of meaning for me in that it talks about the land of the living, that the goodness of God is for now, it's for here and for now. It's not just for the land of the afterlife, but also for the land of the living, for the land of now. And so I always take this sense of life into the counselling room, the sense of hope into the counselling room, that there's always change, is always possible, that hope is always possible, that something different can always happen. And this is another idea that I like to work with as well, which is that from Genesis 1 and about people being made in the image of God. And the thing I like about this verse is that after each day, it talks about how God called his creation good. But after the sixth day, when he made people, it says that he said it was very good. It was really good. And so this is definitely a piece of my work that I love doing is acknowledging the work of God, the image of God, and the person that I'm with, looking for the things that with them that maybe they don't acknowledge in themselves or they haven't noticed in themselves. And Psalm 139 talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I try to look with people to see how they are fearfully and wonderfully made, the things of wonder that reside within them, the way that they've been made up. Often people come in, they're low in hope, and part of that lowness, that hopelessness is around their own sense of themselves, their own self-esteem, their own ability to do anything or to be anyone in the world. And so that's why I like diving into that bit about about self-esteem, about how they are wonderfully made. I remember one client who I'd seen for a while, who had been, I'd seen him for quite a long time, and this one day he came in and he was at a really low ebb, and thinking about life, thinking about whether life was worthwhile. And I remember over the session being able to notice things in him, such as his genuine warmth, and notice them in the way that not just that he was interacting with me, but in the way that he interacted with his life around him, and the way that other people will have noticed that as well. And realizing in the session that people will go away noticing these aspects, these kind of God-given aspects to people, sometimes more than they'll notice what somebody's wearing or the colour of their eyes or something like that. And over that session with that person, I could see the way that he was being built up in himself, that he got a little injection of life just from that acknowledgement of the wonder of that bit of his God image, as it were, that we could notice in that session. So that's my little I guess testimony from today. Thanks for listening, and take care. Enjoy the rest of the service.
This is Laura, who joined our team at the end of last year. It wasn't here. And she works mainly and well with families and young children.
Thank you, Nikki. Good morning, everybody. My name in Spanish is Laura. In English is Laura. I have been in New Zealand for 25 years. And New Zealand gave me two gifts. Life. My daughter was born in the South Island, and love. I found a lovely man to have a lovely family, with, of course, the challenges of two cultures, one from passion and one from logic. So imagine that has been, and this rich experience allows me to meet people with different cultures all over, because it's that sense of identity, that sense of honoring what you had as gift, as talent, but also a challenge. So, in this process, in my home country, I don't know, I always want to go far away. And I had a beautiful mother who understood all my rebellious years. It was wonderful. And one day, I was like the prodigal son. Oh. One day, far away, I realized that I don't deserve the love of my parents because I was lost. So I decided to go to see them in Lima again and say, forgive me for all the things that I was lost, and you gave me a good foundation, but I got lost. And my mother gesture, that was 40 years ago. Imagine, beautiful woman. She was not expecting me. Open her arms like that. Hija, my daughter, Laurita, you are back. You know, and that was for me. She needed to say forgiveness was in that gesture of love and compassion. And in that gesture, I took in my heart and in my journey, I tried to develop that sense of compassion, the social justice, and empowering, that all will come to the real self when the time is ready. So one thing that is was important for me was to trust. When is that the right moment? When? We don't know, but the Holy Spirit take us like the wind. So, when I decide to be a counselor, thanks to New Zealand, I decide to keep that relationship, parents and children, through my inner child that is very playful. So I do play therapy. I love children. I don't judge them. I see, oh, these children are asking for something. Just being present for them. And what is this young person is asking in that sense of being hopeless? They are asking just for a hot chocolate, for a smile, very simple, for a handover. They are asking. They need their parents. They are not ready to go when they are 13, 16. No, they need us. And we need to be ready for them to listen. And the other is the relationships. How we are one to another. That is also important. So, my work is very rich by listening to each other. I always say to my clients who come to see me on Wednesdays downstairs, you have all the answers in your heart. This is a time to listen to that answer. Like the father of the prodigal son was able to see far away, recognize his son, and was a fifth of hope. Thank you.
Passionate, as I said. Our guys, our team is just so passionate about the work that they do. And to see everybody as Jesus sees people, and they've all got hope. And the theme of the songs, you know, the truth that we sing, particularly traditional hymns, a biblical truth, and then we sing songs about our relationship to Jesus and our need of him. We all carry brokenness. Christians carry brokenness, and they find themselves in the counselling room with empathetic Christians and non-Christians, people who don't yet know the perfect love of Jesus. They carry brokenness. And in the counselling rooms downstairs and in Francis's office, there is hope. There's hope. They come to find hope. And they carry that within them. As Laura said, they carry that within them. It's already there. And our guides expose it. Now, I give apologies from Wendy. She's not able to be here. She is not well at all and had nothing to text to send me. She needed to rest. But also one of our others who came on she's been about 18 months, 2 years, Jenny Drummond, or professionally known as Jennifer Drummond. She wrote something that I will read quickly before we wrap up. Her verse was Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, the reason why she shared that is he often shares it when he wants us to listen. That was a verse that she had repeated to her over time. And Jenny did go in the wilderness, as most of us do throughout our lives from time to time. And she found that out of the wilderness, there was God who had promised what he said he would do. So years later, she was working with a client who was unable to stop thinking about what had happened in her past. And she was a Christian lady, and they often, Jenny and she would often pray at the end of the session, and that verse came to mind. Now, she felt that that was the verse for this lady, and she felt she was hearing it again and again, so she shared it. And the woman received that as her truth, and it made a difference to her because she received the biblical truth from God. And we can get it in here, but we also need it in here. She said, as we were wrapping up the session, I noticed the beautiful red rose on the calendar in the room. I felt God tell her that he wanted to give her a red rose to show her how much he loved her. She cried when she heard this, as a red rose from God is a sign of love and is something she has been told before. It was a special session, especially as something happened during the week that shook her world and her trust in others and helping professions. So Jenny says, I feel that what God had done in that session had helped build trust between us, and she is still returning to sessions, though a lot less open. I will pray regularly and continue to pray to build trust with her. People who are hurt find it hard to trust. And they can find that trust with a relationship built in the counselling room. Now, as I said, we have a group of trustees who underpin us. We have a team of eight, including me, and these guys work out of their love and their hearts. We offer a wraparound service as well, so that if there's a family in strife, we can, as a team, they can surround that family and help them in different areas of it. We're all in the business of bringing hope, and we have our tagline of where hope is restored, and that's what our hope is for the people who come through our counselling room. And I just want to say, really grateful to Jem, we're really grateful that over the months, over the years, the relationship, working relationship with the church is getting stronger and closer, and we just really appreciate that we're part of your ministry, we're part of a ministry arm of this church, and that you are part of that journey as well.